Hello and welcome to How to Walk in Divine Health, a radio outreach of the Living Savior Ministries. We have a special program today. Our speaker, Thurman Scrivener, is the senior pastor at the Living Savior Ministries. He is going to be teaching today the principles from God's Word on how to get healed and how to stay healed. We join today's message, You Need to Act Like a Son of God Already in Progress.
She said, Pastor, the lady said to tell you this morning when she woke up, her eyes are clear. '86 years old and her eyes are clear. Praise the Lord. Yes. Don't you love it?
Yes.
I mean, I love serving a God that knows, and he knew my heart for that lady. He knew, and somebody might have been in that room thinking, geez, Pastor, you wasn't very nice to her at all, but I was just doing what I thought was right. And obviously God was okay with it because he healed her eyes. And I'm so grateful that she's going to be able to do that. Now then, I don't know how he's going to provide for that child, but I know he's going to provide. He has a plan, and he'll bless that child somehow, some way, if we pray in faith and pray in love. He'll do it. Do what, honey?
She got her tax money to pay her house, for her house. She did get that.
Do what now?
She got the tax money for her house.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, she had to have a few dollars for taxes for her house. And, you know, that's something that... It's amazing how we as men don't take care of business. You have no idea how many people come to me needing money to pay their taxes. It's terrible. It's terrible. You know, you know those taxes are going to be there every year.
Right.
You know, I mean, once when I paid my taxes for this property and everything this year, I automatically started saving my Social Security. Now, that's my Social Security that I worked and paid for, and I paid it in, so I'm not cheating the government when I get my Social Security back. Y'all understand that, right? That's what I worked and paid it in for all those years, so I would have a little something coming back in. So it makes it pretty nice. If you don't owe anybody anything, if you're out of debt, that Social Security, if you're like I was, I had a pretty good job. So by having a pretty good job, I always paid the maximum Social Security every year. So by paying the maximum Social Security every year, I got enough money coming in every month that if I don't go out and do something stupid, you know, which I'm not going to. In other words, I ain't going to go out and buy me a brand new car, you know, and pay $50,000, $60,000 for a car when I got one out here, you know, that... worth $1,500. Well, no, it was. In fact, I bought it here a while back. There was one of the boys that works for me. He said, Pastor, there's a Chevrolet. I'm not a Chevrolet, a Ford, whatever you call them, Suburban. And it's been wrecked in the front end and they want to sell it.
Chevrolet Suburban.
Yeah. Is it a Chevrolet Suburban? Yeah, Chevrolet Suburban. He said, can we buy it and fix it up? I told him, no, I'm not in the used car business. You know, I'm out of that business. I don't do that no more. I don't work on cars. He said, well, I'll fix it. I'll work on it and fix it for you. I said, okay. He was working for me. So I said, okay. So I said, how much they want for it? And he said, well, let me check. And he come back. He said, we can buy this thing for $1,500. I said, okay, I don't need it. But I said, what can you fix it for? He said, well, I think I can fix it for about $3,000. I said, okay, so the car was worth about $8,000 or $9,000 if you went out and bought one. So I said, if you can fix it for $1,500 or $3,000, go ahead and buy it, you know, and I'll pay for it. And I've got a little money coming in every month, my Social Security, and I have no car payments. And so I've got a little money saved up. So we bought this thing and we fixed it. And there was a few little, you know, if you're not in the business yourself, like me, I've put all that under the bridge a long time ago. I'm not in the used car business no more. I don't buy used cars. I don't fix used cars. But used to, I did. Used to, I knew how to do that. And when I bought a car, when I drove it, checked it, I knew what was wrong with it. I knew what it was going to cost me to fix it. I could fix one within a very small amount of what I thought I was. I usually got it just right. In fact, I remember when my father-in-law told me one time, when I done my first drawing after I'd got out of college, I done my first drawing for a shop, a small shop over in Louisville, in Highland Village. And he asked me, he said, what's that shop going to cost you to build? I said, $2,000. I can build it for $2,000. Now, this is a long time ago. He looked at that and he said, well, double that and you might get close. I said, no. I said, I went to school to learn how to build. And I guarantee you, I figured every nail, I figured every yard of concrete, I figured everything, is every board, every brick, everything, and I can build that shop for $2,000. He said, no, ain't no way. I said, yes, I can. I think I went to school and I learned to do something, you know. So I studied my books like I studied the Bible. So anyway, I built the shop. It cost me $1,950 or something like that. I built that shop totally completely. And he was amazed. He said, I can't believe how you done that so precise. I said, well, I figured it out. You know, I sat down there to see what it's going to cost. Does the Lord even say in his word, a man sets down and figures the cost of what it's going to take to do something? So anyway, knowing what I was doing, okay, if I paid $1,500 for a car and I thought it was going to cost $3,000 to fix it, that's what it's going to cost. That's what it's going to take. Because when I used to own my shop, I was the kind of guy when somebody came in and I looked at their car and I run a complete check on it, see what all I thought it needed. Okay, this car's going to cost, back in those days, you could rebuild an engine for $500. I mean, you know, that's been a long time ago. But I'd say, okay, I'm going to overhaul this car for you. It's going to cost $500, $510 to be exact. Okay, so when a guy, if I didn't run into something drastic that I didn't know, something hidden where I couldn't see it or whatever, when I got through with that car had better be costing me somewhere about $510. And when the guy come to get it, he said, what does it cost me? I said, I told you $510, that's what it costs, $510. Now, if I ran into something that's going to run a $30, $40, $50 more, and I saw it was hidden, and I called him, tell him, hey, I couldn't see inside of here where I was, but it looks like it's going to cost another $30 or $50. Do you want to fix that, or what do you want to do? And so if he says, yes, we fix it, then when he comes to get the car, he pays what he thought was going to cost. But what I hated was whenever somebody would say, okay, it's going to cost you $500. And then when I go get the car, it's going to cost me $1,500. I don't like that. I don't like that at all. And I don't think you like that at all, do you? That's why when you find you a good person that can build a house, overhaul a car, whatever you do, if they hit it right on the nail or real close, you use them forever. You don't have any problems. So, but anyway, I bought this car, and we started fixing it. And, of course, it was one of those kind of deals where when you finally got the hood where you could raise it, you thought all this stuff was going to be okay, but then here's something that wasn't okay. And then here's something over here that ain't going to be okay. And then there's something underneath here that's okay. So it finally wound up costing me about $10,000. But when I got through with it, I got a car with 150,000 miles on it that cost me $10,000. But at least it's paid for. It don't cost me nothing. I don't have no problem. It gives Cheryl another car. And, of course, when she wants to go somewhere, she loves to drive it. So I just made a good deal there, I guess. You know, so my wife likes to drive the car, and she just leaves her Suburban for the girls to go to the mailbox and back in. So, see, we made out okay, didn't we? But you have to know how to figure things. So when you go to figure something in the kingdom, you look down and you think, okay, and nobody does this. A man all of a sudden says, I'm going to divorce my wife. I don't like her. I'm going to divorce my wife. He never goes to the word and sees what it's going to cost him. Are y'all with me? He just thinks, well, it ain't going to cost me nothing. So I'm just going to divorce her. I don't like her anymore. We never stop to think of the cost of what a divorce costs. I only lived through one of those. My first wife, Betty, her mother and daddy got a divorce in their later years. Betty was an older woman by this time. Me and her were not teenagers no more. But it totally devastated Betty to see her mother and daddy get a divorce. And I thought, It wasn't my mother and daddy, but it hurt me a lot, but not like it did her. But I'm thinking, what if that had been my mother and daddy? But you know, when you've got kids that are 10 or 15 years old and the parents get a divorce, it's 50 times worse than it is if they're older. But the daddy or the mother, whichever one does it, never stops to figure the cost. And if you go to this word and read the word, and then, of course, when Cheryl and I learned about the curses and the blessings between the children and between the mother and the daddy, if a mother and a daddy is getting ready for a divorce, there will be some kind of devastating sickness come upon those children. Sometimes every one of them will get sick. You know, we had a lady the other day that called in, and she had a cancer and breast cancer, and Cheryl nicely wrote back to her and told her, said, ma'am, that's usually caused because of unforgiveness toward a female. She had never heard that. She absolutely had never heard that. She called back and said, you're trying to tell me that my cancer is caused by the way I treat somebody? And Cheryl said, yes. She said, I guess the next thing you're going to tell me, because my children are both sick, it's because I'm sinning. Cheryl said, what did I tell her? I said, tell her the truth. Absolutely a fact. You hit the nail right on the head, woman. Your kids are both sick because of you. I told Terry that. You saw her testimony, right? When I told Terry that her kids were sick and she had three miscarriages, and it was all because of her sin of that she didn't love her husband, as she had bitterness toward her husband. When I told her that, that woman jumped up and began to scream and walked out the door and say, you're an idiot. I have never seen a pastor that would say that I'm sick or my children are sick or dying because of my sin. I said, well, ma'am, I've learned that. It's the truth. I said, you ask God and he'll tell you. So that day she happened to be in the right place, because as she left to going home, she's saying, Lord, Thurman says that my children are sick because of me. And the Lord says, he's exactly right, Terry. She said, he's right. She said, yes, Terry, he told you exactly what he's learned from me. And your children, the reason your three children died and you miscarried three is because you had bitterness toward your husband.
You've been listening to Thurman Scrivener of the Living Savior Ministries. We are going to stop for today, but we will return at our next scheduled broadcast with more teaching. If you would like today's broadcast in its entirety titled, You Need to Act Like a Son of God, or you would like any other Living Savior Ministries teachings on CD or DVD, we will be happy to send them to you free and postpaid. You can contact the Living Savior Ministries at 940-242-2106. That's 940-242-2106. You can also listen to any of the Living Savior Ministries teachings online or order them free and postpaid by going to the Living Savior Ministries website at www.tlsm.org. That's www.tlsm.org. Praise the Lord Jesus.